Have you ever been reading along in Mark's gospel and suddenly come to those notes at the end after verse 8? And they say, you know, some texts end here and some texts go on. What's interesting about the verses in Mark that follow verse 8 are that many of them appear to be repeated from some of the other gospel accounts. And so today, we are going to read it because the very oldest manuscripts of Mark end at verse 8. We're going to read the end of the final week just to verse 8, and we are going to read it in a context I believe Mark was trying to share with us. Let's read our scripture together, beginning chapter 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him, meaning Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw, come right in, ladies. When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And so they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The word of God for the people of God. Last month, I was submitted to a very difficult elders' meeting. At the elders' meeting, they said that I was building up all of this great momentum with the final week sermon series, and they thought it would be a good idea if we had a guest preacher today to bring the final message. And so they got together and they searched throughout the state of Virginia for the most handsome preacher that they could find, and they invited him to come and speak to you. And he said no. All right. And then they thought they'd get the most intelligent preacher in Virginia to come and speak to you today. And he said no. And then they asked the person who they thought had the best personality for a preacher in Virginia. And as you can see, he said no. And so finally they came to me and they asked me again, "Would you preach the final sermon series?" And what could I say to them? I'd already told them no three times. Now, I can tell that most of you have never heard that joke. That joke was a surprise to you. All right? And that's what I want to talk about today. Surprises. Like when the worship leader puts on bunny ears. Surprises are sometimes life-changing moments, especially when they are God surprises. And God surprises us all the time. You know, Jesus predicted, he told people that he was going to rise from the dead. And they didn't understand. They didn't believe it. And it was a big surprise to these women that we are going to talk about today as we wrap up this final week sermon series. The first Resurrection Sunday that followed the final week consisted of surprise after surprise. The first surprise was when the women walked up and the stone was already rolled away. They were talking about it on the way there. How are we going to move the stone? Surprise, surprise, the stone had already been rolled away. These women were concerned with giving Jesus a decent burial, and they walked up worried about how they were going to do that. Surprise, it's going to be easy for you. They'd spent a lot of money on these spices. And then the second surprise happened. They were getting ready to prepare Jesus, and he wasn't there. Second surprise, no Jesus in the tomb. The point is that shocking surprises we face in our lives can be big blessings if we will just let them, if we will only open our minds and see and comprehend them. And then the third surprise, a young man is in the tomb and not Jesus. The woman walk into the tomb, and this young man, who the scriptures say is dressed in white. What's interesting to me, some people read some of these other gospels and they say, well, this is an angel. But Mark points out to this that it is a young man. And doesn't immediately refer to him as an angel, but the only place that the word white appears in Mark's gospel is here, and the second place is when Jesus was transfigured, and the scriptures say that he was in a dazzling white. So the two times that that word is used in Mark, they're referring to a dazzling white. Who was this young man? Because he is key to all of these surprises, I think. Most scholars believe that Mark wrote himself into the story, that young man is a young Mark, and he is now telling you the story. I don't think that that was all that Mark was doing. I believe Mark put that young man in the story for you and I. I believe you and I are the young man in this story. The only place that the young man appears in the Gospels like this is in Mark's Gospel. And guess what? This isn't the only time that the young man was in Mark's Gospel. Let's look at Mark 14, 50 to 52 on the next slide. Here's the young man earlier in the gospel. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane after the prayers. Remember, the disciples could not stay awake with Jesus. He was praying that the cup would be taken from him. And they came and arrested Jesus and everyone, all the disciples, deserted him and fled. Verse 50, 51 says, a certain young man was following him wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. Now, this view of the Gospels that everyone ran off when Jesus was arrested, every Gospel has that story. But I believe in looking closely at some of the Greek words that are used when they talk about this young man, that you can see why maybe that young man really is representative of you and I. He had a loincloth here in this part of the story. When Mark describes the young man in Greek, he uses a word called nenesekos, meaning he was in the prime of his life. That means the young man is like maybe 15 to 25 years old, a very young man. The verb that's used is sunokeleth, meaning he was following, he was a disciple, he was accompanying. Fascinatingly, the only place, because the word is used very rarely in any of the Gospels, there's only three or four occurrences, but here are two in Mark. He uses this to describe this person and also the young man who is in the tomb to make the report that Jesus is alive, just as he said. The surprise is to me that that these women are afraid and ran away. But then I thought about it a little while. If these women are not going to go and tell the story of Jesus' resurrection, who is going to do it? Because the Scripture tells you they ran off afraid and didn't tell a soul. I'll tell you who's going to do it. The surprise is that the young man and you are going to go and tell the story. Now think about it. We've been talking about this final week. You were there when Jesus walked in on Palm Sunday, jumped on the colt, and rode in. And you know what? You've got all of the inside story and know what all of that actually meant with regard to a new kind of kingdom that was coming. Not the same kind of king they all expected. You were there when Jesus explained the kingdom of God to the religious leaders of the day. You were there when he showed them that faith and love, and not rules and sacrifices, when they had all those arguments in the temple, were the way to get to know God. And Mark explained the inside scoop to all of you. So you do actually know what is going on. You were there when he challenged the disciples to remember everything that had happened and never forget it at the Last Supper. And you were there when the disciples ran off afraid. And the young man ran off afraid. Because folks, none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. The power of the way the earliest manuscripts of Mark tell the story is that this young man, once naked in Gethsemane, now dressed in dazzling white, in a dazzling white robe, is representative of humanity and the new role as witnesses of the resurrection that every one of you have. You were there with those women. You looked in and you believed. What does all of this mean for us today? Are you ready to believe in Jesus Christ, that he was God becoming a man and dying on a cross and being buried and then rising from the dead? The point is, all of us have failed at some point in our discipleship journey. All of us ladies in the pastor's class know exactly what I'm referring to. All of us have trouble with our car on the road of life. Right, girls? You know exactly what I'm talking about. And we need people to pick us up and help us on the way. But that doesn't change the fact that we were there and we looked in and we saw Jesus was alive. And he had gone ahead of us to Galilee where we would meet him. You know, God calls every one of us to be saved from sin through belief and faith in what Jesus did, in what Jesus said, in all of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And the important thing is for us to say, yes, we do believe that. And if we've already said that, then the important thing is, do we believe enough to go and tell that story? We were there. We looked in. We saw Jesus is alive indeed. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation right now. And that is Alleluia, Sing to Jesus. It's hymn number 233. Stand with us now as we sing this hymn of the church together. Hallelujah.
Songs of saints and